welcome to this week's edition of Flashback Friday, which also happens to be a 10th episode. Those of you who subscribe regularly to the podcast know that every 10th episode, Jason goes off topic and brings you something outside of the real estate space that actually affects the real estate space in the long run. Of course, Flashback Friday is your opportunity to get some good review by listening to episodes from the past that Jason has handpicked to help you today in the present and propel you into the future. Enjoy.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show with Jason Hartman. You're about to learn a new slant on investing, some exciting techniques, and fresh new approaches to the world's most historically proven asset class that will enable you to create more wealth and freedom than you ever thought possible. Jason is a genuine self-made multimillionaire who's actually been there and done it. He's a successful investor, lender, developer, and entrepreneur who's owned properties in 11 states, had hundreds of tenants, and been involved in thousands of real estate transactions. This program will help you follow in Jason's footsteps on the road to your financial independence day. You really can do it. And now, here's your host, Jason Hartman, with the complete solution for real estate investors.
Welcome to the Creating Wealth Show. Thank you so much for joining me today. This is your host, Jason Hartman, and we are at episode number 56560. You know what that means? It is a 10th episode, a 10th show. And today, I want you all to prepare. I want you to prepare to be offended. No, not really. Well, maybe. I don't know. Yeah, you know, the guy we have today is a bit controversial. Our guest will be Larry Winget. He's known as the Pit Bull of Personal Development. He's the author of Grow a Pair, How to Stop Being a Victim and Take Back Your Life. I think you'll enjoy his interview. He's entertaining, and he does have some good advice for living. You know, some you may not like, some I think you'll like. So we'll dive into that in just a moment. But first, I wanted to say, last call for San Diego for Jason Hartman University Live. Of course, not a real university, because you won't come out of this one with massive student loan debt. This is cheap. It costs very, very little. It's in San Diego, and we've just got a great event lined up. I'm going to do another site visit on the hotel tomorrow, by the time you're hearing this. And we're getting all geared up for that, getting our workbooks printed. We've got some just great new content. I mean, the content for this course has been super exciting to work on. Doug has been working on it with me, and we've just been collaborating on it. We're going to be doing some gamification. We're going to actually gamify this brand new event and, you know, do a little contest. And the contest is going to be based around building a real estate portfolio. So I think you're just going to totally enjoy this. I know a whole bunch of you have signed up already, and we're looking forward to seeing you on Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. You know, you can come at 9:15 or 9, but don't come before 9, please. I don't know why you guys feel like you need to get to my event so early. I have a lot of early bird clients. Maybe that's just because they're following the old adage, early to bed, early to rise makes a person healthy, wealthy, and wise. But no need to come before 9:15, or definitely not before 9. We're planning to start at 9:30. And same time on Sunday, two-day event. It's going to be awesome. Super excited. And by the way, many of you have been expressing interest in the Venture Alliance that continues to build and grow, and I'm super excited about that. Our Newport, Rhode Island trip is coming up. Our side trip to Martha's Vineyard is getting planned out, and that's just an optional, you know, one-day side trip. So that's going to be a fantastic weekend of camaraderie, real estate entrepreneurship, and people from across the country. It's just going to be super exciting. Of course, we're going to tour the mansions of Newport, Rhode Island. And oh my gosh, this restaurant that we are doing dinner, well, you know, we always do really over the top stuff for Venture Alliance. This restaurant where we are having dinner on Friday night, to kick off that weekend is phenomenal. And it's just, I mean, wait till you see the pictures. We will post the pictures on the website or on our Facebook group after the event. But wow, that is like a, it's stunning. I mean, I cannot believe the photos of this place. So it's going to be a great weekend. Go to jasonhartman.com, the events section, and check out the San Diego event. Last call for that. By the time you're hearing this, it's probably only a day or two away. And then Newport, Rhode Island for Venture Alliance as well. And gosh, we've already got some of next week's episodes recorded for you, but can you believe what is happening with the stock market? I mean, is this the beginning of the meltdown everybody's been predicting? You know, it's so nice not to have money in that casino. I mean, everybody is freaking out about it. Starbucks even put out an edict to their baristas and employees saying, be nice to wary investors. Yes, it's unbelievable. And most people are walking around and they are just freaking out right now. But we're all smarter because we invest in the most historically proven asset class in the world, income property. It's just so nice not to be attached to that Wall Street organized crime ring and casino. So anyway, let's dive in. Let's get to our guest, Larry Wingate, jasonhartman.com to check out the events. Also, some fantastic properties for you there as well. I will just remind you in San Diego, by the way, one more thing. You know, I always do this to you before I get to the guest. You know, it's kind of a tease, right? That's what I'm doing. Our guest speakers, we're having an investment property lender. We're having our land contract expert, where you can buy the paper, not just the properties. And he is flying out. We're having our major Chicago supplier fly out. And our newest local market specialist, who you're going to hear on the podcast soon also, he is going to talk about Jacksonville, Florida, our newest market that we've brought on. So some really exciting stuff. They'll all be there this weekend at JHU Live. So we'll look forward to hopefully seeing you there and also seeing you at the end of September in Newport, Rhode Island. Let's jump to our guest, Larry Wingate, on this 10th show. Remember, we're not talking about real estate with our guest today. We're talking about general life interest. And I think you'll really enjoy Larry Wingate. I'm sure you've heard of him, but here he is. It's my pleasure to welcome Larry Wingate to the show. You've probably heard his name. He's known as the Pit Bull of Personal Development. He is a six-time New York Times and Wall Street Journal best-selling author. His latest book is entitled Grow a Pair: How to Stop Being a Victim and Take Back Your Life, Your Business, and Your Sanity. Larry, welcome. How you doing?
I'm always good. As I said earlier, it's good to be Larry Wingate.
I love it. That's awesome. Well, hey, you know, one of the things that we talked about a little bit before that I definitely want to dive into is this concept of polarization and kind of how your whole angle on things is, you know, you definitely have a very strong belief system, and I love that. You know, we've got a whole generation of people, it seems like, a couple generations maybe, walking around complaining about, you know, why the government won't do something more for me, and, you know, feeling entitled to this and that. And that old belief system, that just doesn't serve them, does it?
The reason I wrote Grow a Pair is because I believe the biggest enemy we have right now of society is the whole idea of entitlement. In terms of my opinions, I do have a core belief system that I will never compromise, and that's part of what Grow a Pair, the book, is really about. It's about having a set of beliefs that you won't compromise no matter what. You couldn't hold a gun to my head and talk me out of any of the things I believe. If I ask the typical guy on the street, tell me five things you believe in that you will never compromise no matter what, they couldn't come up with one most of the time. I have things that absolutely matter so much to me, and my willingness to speak up and for those things and about those things to a lot of people makes me sound pig-headed and opinionated. I am those things, yet I am proud of those things. I believe absolutely that people need stronger opinions. They need to stop straddling the fence. They need to pick a side, find something you believe in, stand up for it, never compromise, ever, no matter what, and believe in him so much that people look at you and say, I can count on that person to always have a position based on those core values.
Remember, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and Wednesday. Definitely, if we look throughout history, Larry, history records people like you and like what you're recommending. I mean, it doesn't record these wimpy, wishy-washy people. They record leaders, people who are willing to take a risk, put an opinion out there. You know, some will reject it and some will love it.
You know, it's really about being on the edge. And it doesn't matter what side of the middle you're on, as long as you're on the edge. You know, we remember people in history who, and we don't remember anybody from the middle. There was nobody in the middle that you can come up with a name. They're not in any history books. But when you look at, from Jesus to Hitler, it doesn't matter. It's those people on the edge that took a very strong stand and were very vocal about both sides. When you look at music, you got Elvis, you got the Beatles. It's the people who are the edgiest that make the waves that are most remembered. Whether they're remembered are good things or bad things, they're still the people who are remembered.
That's definitely true. So one of the early chapters in the book is, you know, do you have a pair? and how does someone know? I mean, yeah, most people don't, I agree. But how does someone know? Is it just because they have an opinion? I mean, you know, by the same token, I mean, there's lots of idiots out there with just silly opinions. For example, entitlement is an opinion. I'm entitled to free stuff without work. That's an opinion.
It's real easy to know whether you have a pair or not. This is the one that bothers people the most, it seems, especially if you're old enough to have kids. Do your kids talk back to you? You don't have a pair. When I walk through a mall and I see little kids even, talking back to their mamas and daddies, and mom and daddy take it, that means that's a parent who's never had enough of a pair to say, you don't get to talk to me that way. Let's learn some respect right now. Listen, if your coworkers talk back to you, if you take verbal abuse from anybody, you don't have a pair. It's very, very simple. If you don't pay your bills, you don't have a pair. Because paying your bills means that you're in control of your life. You're in control of your finances. I don't care if you don't have enough money, but still, you should have a commitment to your commitments. People who pay their bills have enough of a pair to understand that being in control of every area of their life is important. It's easy to find out whether you have a pair or not. Just look at your situation, your circumstances. You let people cut in front of you in line? You don't have a pair. Do you eat cold food in a restaurant? Why? You don't have balls enough to speak up and say, I'm not taking this, I'm paying for this, and so I want the best of what you have to offer instead of the fact you let it sit back there until it got cold. Do you speak up when you get bad service? Do you ask for a manager? You know, it's easy to find out whether people have a strong belief system. Here's what I think. I think if you put up with something, you're condoning it. And people always say, I don't think that's that extreme.
We get what we tolerate.
Yeah, we absolutely do. Do you condone rudeness? No. Well, then why do you put up with rudeness? Do you condone bad customer service? Then why do you put up with it? It's very simple.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, no, absolutely. I agree with you. Interestingly, too, Larry, is by tolerating something, you're actually not serving the person who is the perpetrator of the bad thing, are you?
Well, you don't do a restaurant a service by not speaking up when your food's mediocre. When they come by and say, so how was it? 99.99% of the people go, it was fine, or it was good. When the truth is, it wasn't. If you want to really do that restaurant a service, you'll say, you know, this was really good. It was excellent. However, this over here, it could have been this, this, and this. And then they can learn. If you don't speak up, you're not helping them stay in business. And here's my problem. If the guy in front of me doesn't speak up for bad service, then he's done me a disservice.
Right, because you're going to get the same crappy service too.
That's exactly right. So I'm out to help everybody. I want the company to succeed, so I'll help them be a little better. And some people think that's just criticizing. No, it's actually not just criticizing. It really is the one that I care enough about my money to make sure that I get the best. Two, I want people to do well, and the best way to help people do well is to give them the feedback they need in order to do better next time. I read a great quote the other day by Norman Vincent Peale. Said, most of us would rather be ruined by praise than saved by criticism.
Hmm. Yeah, that's good. Ruined by praise. That's kind of like being spoiled. You know, it's like spoiling your kids, for example, or, you know, or spoiling your dog and kind of ruining them.
Well, we have an entire generation right now, Jason, that has been spoiled.
I know it very well. Talk about it all the time. So, Larry, where is the distinction, though? And you did allude to it, but I'd like you to, you know, on the flip side of this, okay, there are those people out there who are just craving attention, and they want to draw attention to themselves by being complainers and being rude and being pushy. You know, that's not right. I mean, you're not condoning that kind of idea. In fact, you're saying don't tolerate that. But, you know, like that restaurant example, we all know that person who's kind of like this ridiculously high maintenance person, usually just an attention seeker. Where's the balance in that?
Well, that's a person that's in love with their drama, and they will create drama wherever they go. I don't play into other people's drama. What you have to do is say, is my opinion grounded in some sort of basis? You know, you want to find out those idiots where they are and where they show up the most. Look at social media. I mean, that's what I call Facebook balls, where people are willing to say anything in the world to you on social media. Most of those people don't have a picture associated with their profile, and yet they're real tough and they're real strong. You know, you want to find out where the idiots live, you can find out in a minute by just going on social media. So I don't play into any of that. I have a basis. I just ask people, tell me why you believe what you believe. And if you're just saying what you say just to be arrogant or contrarian or obnoxious or rude or to make the drama about you, then your opinion doesn't have much credibility with me. If you're saying what you're saying because that's what you believe, and there's a reason you believe it, and the reason you're saying it is so someone along the way will be helped. Listen, every day when I get up, I say what I do to provoke. I give speeches to provoke. I write books to provoke. I go on social media every day to provoke people. Because I know if I provoke people just by having a strong opinion, that will make them think. And anytime you think, you are better off. You have helped the world if you can make another person think. Even if they want to disagree with me so adamantly that it just makes them feel stronger about what they believe. That's been a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a very good point. So, you know, when someone grows a pair, so to speak, you know, and I want to talk about business because it just never ceases to amaze me how many cheaters and scallywags and scoundrels there are in business. You know, it reminds me of that old, great old Winston Churchill quote that you've probably heard and used. You know, it goes, you have enemies? Good. That means you have stood up for something sometime in your life. You know, I remember hearing Dennis Waitley years ago saying, if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything.
Yeah, that wasn't original with Dennis. He stole it from someone else, too.
Well, that's, you know, that's how it works.
That's the opening quote to grow a pair. The thing about, you've got to be willing to have enemies. I talk to a lot of people who are speakers and wannabe speakers and authors because, you know, the level that I've reached. I was doing a social event. I was at a buddy's wedding a few years ago, and I had a speaker come up to me and tap me on the shoulder and interrupt the group of people I was talking to, more speakers who had operated my level. And she said, I'm going to be bigger than you, Larry. I'm going to write more books. I'm going to sell more books. I'm going to make more money. I'm going to give more speeches. I'm going to be more famous than you are. And I thought, well, first of all, what an obnoxious thing to say to me. But I turned and looked at her, and after she had pushed it a couple of times, I looked at her and said, it's never going to happen for you. And she said, why not? Everybody loves me. And I said, and that's why it's never going to happen for you. Your goal every single day is to make everybody love you. And you cannot create rabid fans unless you are willing to have rabid enemies. The people who wake up every day and say, I'm only going to say things that people will, on social media, like, or I'm only going to go on stage and have everybody in the audience love me, well, then that's not taking a stand. Because if you really take a stand, there's going to be somebody who's going to hate you for it. Jesus took a stand for loving one another, and they killed him for it. Any strong stand you take will make a certain group of people unhappy. I'm comfortable with that. Look at the studies that are done about Howard Stern. I saw one that said something like a third of the people who listen to Howard Stern, the fans only listen one third of the way through his program. People who hate Howard Stern will stay tuned for the whole thing.
Yeah, that's interesting. I know that and same with Rush Limbaugh. You know, the haters, you get a lot of your ratings from the haters.
So, absolutely. They're the people who count. And I have people who absolutely hate me who buy my stuff. I can count on them every single time I release a book. I know who they are. They review my books every single time and say, well, I read this one, Larry, and you're stupid as you ever were. And they go on and on and on. But the point is, they bought the book.
Right. Yeah, that's the point. Well, but why do you think that is? Like, what is behind that dynamic of how people that hate Howard Stern or Rush Limbaugh, you know, or Larry Winget, that they're following him? I mean, is it just because they want to feel something? Has it become so easy to survive nowadays that, you know, people are looking for the adrenaline rush of getting angry on purpose, you know, maybe, or finding a reason to be offended?
Well, I think people like to feel, and we have become numbed in so many ways. And that way, I believe you're right. Here's what I believe. I just am absolutely convinced most people don't pay much attention to you. And most people won't believe what you have to say or even listen to what you have to say. However, they will always pay attention and listen to see if you believe what you have to say. We are surrounded by politicians, business people. We see them on television, listen to them on the radio, who we're not convinced that they believe their position. I believe what attracts people to me, even to Stern, even to Limbaugh, you can go Rachel Maddow, Bill O'Reilly, Glenn Beck, Ed, any of the real polarizing personalities in this world, they absolutely have a following because they have people who want to hear anyone say something they believe in, whether they disagree with it or not. They want to hear somebody say something they believe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. They're just, people are just attracted to that. They're attracted to that leadership, if you will, right?
Yeah, they wouldn't like to call it leadership, but it's somebody who's authentic enough, who's willing to go out on a limb, be opinionated enough that they don't care whether you like it or not. I don't care whether people like what I have to say or not. I really don't care. I can't pay my bills with other people's opinions of me.
How do you grow a pair in business?
Well, I tell you what, when you stop tolerating, it goes back to what we said, when you stop tolerating lousy employees, when you realize that 20% of the people who work for you are thieves, they steal your time, they steal from your customers by not giving their very best. They steal from their coworkers by doing a half-assed job so their coworkers can't count on them. Those thieves in your business, you need to fire. That's one way to grow a pair. You need to be smart enough and strong enough and willing enough to say, I'll fight stupid employees on the outside, but I'm not going to let them destroy my own credibility as the leader and the manager within my company. I'm not willing to let that happen. I'm not willing to let them poison their coworkers with their bad attitude. That's the first way you grow a pair.
How about you talked about politics and, you know, this whole go along to get along mentality. Just it's just so pervasive in life, but and certainly in Washington, it's pervasive. And you know, you'll always see people on the opposite side. Oh, you know, John Boehner, he won't cooperate. You know, like and sometimes I think, you know, why do we want the government to get anything done in the first place? Because everything they do seems to just restrict our freedoms or tax us more. You know, it sort of seems like the uncooperative people in Washington might be the best people of all. They might be saving our liberties, what little we have left.
The people who gripe and complain about the government, yet so few vote. And the things that we expect from our government, we don't expect from ourselves. You know, it's easy for us to sit back and say, how dare the government have that level of debt? And yet we have 40% of Americans who spend more money than they earn. And then you're mad at the government for doing just what you do? Your government is a reflection of who you are. If we have a lousy government, it's because we allowed that to happen. If we have politicians who steal and cheat us, the taxpayers, when you realize the number of people, something like 27% of all people who file IRS claims, tax returns, have cheated on those tax returns. The government's no better or no worse than we are as humanity. The problem is, and this is something I talk about in Grow Up Here, you better fix yourself first. Go to the mirror and say, I got to get my own house in order. That's the best way in the world anybody can grow a pair. Get your house in order. Start spending less money than you make. Start raising your kids like you mean it, like you really want them to be responsible adults when they grow up. Give them the skills necessary in order to do that. Start paying your own bills on time. Be the kind of person who demands the best from yourself and others. It's really pretty simple.
Yeah, right. It definitely is. So a lot of the things you talked about, though, Larry, I mean, I think someone can see this as a public figure, how there'd be a benefit of growing a pair, of having, you know, having an opinion about things, because that would potentially, and I think most of the time, at least if the opinion's somewhat sound, increase one's following and interest. You talked a lot about a lot of the disadvantages of growing a pair. I mean, why would someone want to do it? Isn't it easier to just go along and get along and, you know, have a lot of friends and have life be easy and, you know, stay out of court and stay out of disputes? And you know?
I tell you what, it is easier always to be in the middle. I laugh all the time and say it must be really easy to just be stupid and mediocre. Not much is required of you. If stupid and willing to just get along and bump along in the middle. Really, you don't have to be very good. When you're good, people want a lot from you. They expect a lot from you. When you're really lousy, you're always hoping somebody doesn't catch you at being lousy, so you lose your job. But when you're in the middle, boy, that's a safe place. It's no fun, though. It's kind of like riding a merry-go-round. You just go around in circles all the time. The real fun in life comes from the roller coasters with the big ups and the big downs. So I'd rather be a roller coaster guy than a merry-go-round guy. I will say that you're right, that there are consequences of growing a pair. People will say you're mean. I had somebody, I was walking at a party. I was walking past someone and someone said, there's Larry Wingate, he's really mean. I heard them over say that and I turned around and said, what makes you think I'm mean? I'm really one of the nicest guys you'll ever meet. It's just I'm intolerant of stupidity, like what you just did right now, calling me mean when you don't know who I am.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, listen, you know what you did just there, Larry? By calling that person out, you saved them from judging. You saved someone else from being judged in that same way, just like you talked about earlier. You gave the example of the restaurant, etc. So, you know, you are doing a service, you know, to the next person in line. It's definitely true.
Well, we've reached the place in society where we've been, and I believe one of the biggest enemies right now, maybe the most castrating effect on society right now is political correctness. That we can't speak honestly and openly with good communication skills. We have to couch everything in something that, in some way that won't offend someone, possibly hurt their fragile little feelings. So being honest, open, that's going to get you called names. People will call you mean. People will say horrible things about you. You better be prepared when you grow a pair to take it. However, it's going to come back to just what we started with, core values. When your core values are so strong that you won't compromise them, you won't couch them in pretty words, you'll just stand up for them, believe them, and live them, you'll have a lot more true friends, you'll be admired more, you'll be respected more. I didn't come into this world to be liked. It is my goal to be respected. I don't care whether you agree with me or not. I want you to respect the fact that I believe what I have to say. That honesty, that level of integrity, that authenticity is what I believe makes us admirable people.
Just a reminder, you're listening to Flashback Friday. Our new episodes are published every Monday and every Wednesday. I get what you're saying. I mean, I totally hear what you're saying. But, you know, the reason I ask if that ever bugs you is because I'm sure it bugs people listening, okay? And, you know, how does one deal with that?
I do let it get under my skin from time to time. Sometimes they can push so hard and just be so blatantly stupid and unwilling to listen. I'm very active on social media. I have one of the most interactive fan pages on Facebook that you'll ever find. I actually talk to people. And I will do my best to make sure that what I've said or stood up for to provoke that day is understood. And I don't care whether you agree with me or not. I will respect all opinions as long as people are respectful. But when people start being disrespectful, that astounds me. People will say things that they wouldn't think of saying to my face. So when that happens, that bugs me. I ask to be respected. I can think you're an idiot, but I will respect you. I'll respect you enough to call you an idiot.
Interesting point there, by the way.
It is an interesting point. But I will attack, and I'm good at attacking, but I attack behavior and not an individual. And that's what bothers me. When people start saying horrible things about me, I have people who have written book reviews on Amazon and called my kids' names and my wife's names. And, you know, that's not fair. That's not right. That stuff bothers me. You can say what you want to about me, but you better say it with respect.
Yeah. Good point. Good point. Larry, give out your website. Tell people where they can find out more about you.
Oh, I'm easy to find. Look up Larry Wingett, W-I-N-G-E-T, LarryWingett.com. You can go on YouTube. I do a weekly series called Ask Larry Anything. I've got an online television series called Grow a Pair TV. You can look that up. Just go to my website. I'm everywhere.
Good stuff. And Larry, just in closing here, you know, maybe any just general closing thought you want to share, or maybe share one of those questions that you got and your answer to it on your Ask Larry Anything. I bet you get some doozies.
I do get a bunch of doozies. Here's what's interesting about the questions. People always want to know how they can change someone else. My mother does this, and I would love for her to do that. My sister spends too much money. My husband, it's always about someone else. This is the one of the most beneficial things that I ever came up with for people to understand, in my opinion at least, is that people change when they want to, not when you want them to. Stop trying to change other people. They're not going to until it becomes important enough for them to change all on their own to them. The other thing is stop worrying so much about the results of others. People's results are the consequences of their thoughts, their beliefs, their words, and their actions. The most helpful thing any human being can do is just point out that whatever someone is experiencing, that's their fault. What they are experiencing are the results of their actions, thoughts, words, and beliefs. If you can show them that, so they can then take responsibility. What I do is hold up a mirror to people so they can track their results back to the perpetrator. And it's always yourself, always.
You know, Larry, that is such a good point that you bring up. And I just want to share one more thought and have you comment on it before we go. And that is that I remember years ago when I was taking sailing lessons, and I lived in Newport Beach at the time. We would go out on the water. We'd go out at night when it's dark on the ocean, and it is choppy, and it's kind of weird out there, you know, if you've done it. And we would do man overboard drills, and you know, we'd throw a life jacket in the water, and the key was you can't lose sight of that life jacket. And the first thing the instructor told us is, do not jump in after them because they will drown you. Panicky people in water drown you. Okay. You got to fish them out. You can't jump in. And it's the same thing with people's problems, right? Like, you know, everybody wants to jump in the pool with them and, you know, fix their problems and, you know, help them out of their struggle. But it's kind of good for people to have some struggle in their life, isn't it?
Well, the worst thing we do, and we see this a lot in parenting. I wrote a New York Times bestselling parenting book. The worst thing we can do is allow our kids to never experience failure, to never let them get hurt, fall down, scrape their knees, on and on and on. We do them a disservice when we overprotect. And we do our friends a disservice when we go to them and say, oh, poor baby, it's a cold, cruel world out there. I'm so sorry. A true friend will say, listen, you deserve better than this. Stop being an idiot, shake it off, and get back to work. So the approach is, if you really want to help people, let them feel the pain of their consequences. Saving someone that pain cheats them of the lesson. Never cheat someone of the lesson. I've learned more from my mistakes than I ever did from my successes. Every successful person will tell you that. And if somebody had robbed me of that failure pain, I wouldn't have learned how to become successful. Because when you hurt from your consequences, when you feel the pain of your consequences, that's when you go, I don't think I'll repeat that behavior.
That is an awesome point, Larry. And folks, you heard it there. Larry Winget, the pit bull of personal development. Thank you so much for joining us today.
I had a good time. Thanks for having me on.
I've never really thought of Jason as subversive, but I just found out that's what Wall Street considers him to be.
Really? Now, how is that possible at all?
Simple. Wall Street believes that real estate investors are dangerous to their schemes because the dirty truth about income property is that it actually works in real life.
I know. I mean, how many people do you know, not including insiders, who created wealth with stocks, bonds, and mutual funds? Those options are for people who only want to pretend they're getting ahead.
Stocks and other non-direct traded assets are a losing game for most people. The typical scenario is you make a little, you lose a little, and spin your wheels for decades.
That's because the corporate crooks running the stock and bond investing game will always see to it that they win. This means, unless you're one of them, you will not win.
And unluckily for Wall Street, Jason has a unique ability to make the everyday person understand investing the way it should be. He shows them a world where anything less than a 26% annual return is disappointing.
Yep, and that's why Jason offers a one-book set on creating wealth that comes with 20 digital download audios. He shows us how we can be excited about these scary times and exploit the incredible opportunities this present economy has afforded us.
We can pick local markets untouched by the economic downturn, exploit packaged commodities investing, and achieve exceptional returns safely and securely.
I like how he teaches you how to protect the equity in your home before it disappears and how to outsource your debt obligations to the government.
And this set of advanced strategies for wealth creation is being offered for only $197.
To get your Creating Wealth Encyclopedia Book 1, complete with over 20 hours of audio, go to jasonhartman.com/store.
If you want to be able to sit back and collect checks every month just like a banker, Jason's Creating Wealth Encyclopedia series is for you. This show is produced by the Hartman Media Company, all rights reserved. For distribution or publication rights and media interviews, please visit www.hartmanmedia.com or email media@hartmanmedia.com. Nothing on this show should be considered specific personal or professional advice. Please consult an appropriate tax, legal, real estate, or business professional for individualized advice. Opinions of guests are their own, and the host is acting on behalf of Platinum Properties Investor Network, Inc., exclusively.